Washington, Thursday, June 25th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the case against cap and trade. Heritage Foundation research fellow Jack Spencer is with us to explain how the Democratic Energy Reform Bill really means much higher taxes, many fewer jobs, and almost no change to the climate. Also in this edition, hopeful for Iran. South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson explains why he believes technology and the passionate pursuit of democracy is on the side of the protesters in Iran despite the brutal crackdowns. We'll also get the congressman's reaction to the scandal involving his state's governor, Mark Sanford. Dateline Scott Juhanek checks in on the latest efforts to give parents more options on giving their kids a better public school education. And the North Korean nightmare. We'll speak with retired U.S. Army Colonel Bob McGinnis about the latest posturing and rhetoric from the rogue communist nation. All that plus Thursday's headlines are straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with the cap and trade debate, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Jack Spencer, research fellow at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts as Congress moves ever closer to a final vote on the democratically sponsored cap-and-trade legislation, which they say would dramatically move America towards a renewable energy future, and critics say would mean a lot higher taxes, especially on utilities and anything that requires energy, including gasoline and food. And Jack, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be here.
Who's right in terms of what the ultimate impact is going to be here, or maybe both right? Will this drive us closer to a renewable energy future, or is it just going to be a huge tax on us?
Maybe a little bit of both. It may push us more towards a renewable energy future, but there's nothing inherently good about that. What we should be doing is looking for sources of energy and making sure Americans have access to whatever sort of energy that they need. Make sure it's affordable and clean energy. Now, in terms of the tax, and that really is what we're talking about here, is a great big energy tax. A tax to the tune of each family of four by 2035 will amount to about $71,000, over $71,000. So that's a significant chunk of change that people are going to be paying in order to get what is really almost no environmental benefit at all. According to the models and everything that they talk about, let's assume that they're right. The amount of CO2 that this piece of legislation would reduce would lead to a temperature drop of about 0.05 of a degree in the next 50 years. So, not even a measurable amount of environmental benefit here, assuming what they say is correct. So there's a whole lot of economic pain and really no environmental gain, and it's not just taxes, but there's going to be a lot of jobs lost, and we're talking millions of jobs. So really, across the board, this is a no-win energy bill for America's consumers. Now, interestingly, the reason it may go forward is because what Congress has effectively done is bought off industry. All those taxes that each of us individuals out there, the consumers, are going to be paying, the government's going to take that and they're giving it to all the industries out there who said, we're not going to support this because we're not going to be able to do business anymore. And members of Congress said, now you don't worry about that. We'll go ahead and pay you off for that. So that's how they got the support for it. So whenever they're out there and saying industry supports it, well, industry does support it because they're all getting paid off. The people who don't have lobbyists here in Washington, me and you, the consumer, we're the ones who are going to bear the burden of this.
We're talking with Jack Spencer of the Heritage Foundation, and Jack, Democrats and other supporters of this legislation point out to a new study that was released this week by the Congressional Budget Office saying it won't be thousands of dollars a year on the typical American family, just a couple hundred dollars extra in energy costs. We had a Republican member of Congress on to explain that, and she said basically that's assuming that all the money that's collected from these energy producers and manufacturers is going to be given back to the taxpayer. But is there any promise in this legislation that that's the case?
Well, here's an idea. Why don't you just let us keep our own money, and we don't need to worry about sending it to Washington and making sure they give it back to us? Look, that CBO study is completely off the mark, and so people should log on to the Heritage Foundation's website at heritage.org, where we go through all the reasons why that's the case. But the bottom line is that CBO study, it doesn't take into consideration things like the economy not growing. What it is essentially it's essentially an accounting study. It talks about how that money is going to be spent. It doesn't talk about the economic impact of it. It tries to portray itself as a economic impact study when, in fact, it's nothing more than telling us how the government's going to spend that money. So whenever people try to use that as a justification for the amount of money it's going to cost us, we need to reject that out of hand, because that CBO study could not be more off. And like I said, go to the Heritage Foundation website, heritage.org. You can get a lot of information on that, all the details.
Jack, you mentioned that this will result in substantial job losses. Is there any way to estimate that and explain for our listeners explicitly why so many jobs will be lost as a result of this?
Sure, there is a way to estimate it, and in fact, it's millions of jobs that will be lost. By 2035, we're talking 2.5 million jobs that are going to be gone. If you again come to Heritage, and we can break that down for you in different sectors and everything. And essentially, the reason why you lose jobs is because this puts a tax on 85% of the energy that we use in this country. 85% of the energy that we use in this country is fossil fuel, and that's what we use to do everything from build cars to build houses to cook your food. All that stuff's going to cost more. Well, it's going to cost more, which means we're going to have less money to buy stuff with. When you have less money to buy stuff with, well, that causes economic contraction and lost jobs. And that's why. That's what the bottom line is.
Jack, in terms of the politics of this, given what you've laid out in terms of lost jobs, higher bills for the consumer, how are lawmakers pitching this to the folks back home that this is a good idea?
Well, they're telling them this story about green jobs and energy efficiency and all that kind of thing. But the reality is this. It'll create some green jobs. It's going to take money from Americans out of American pockets and give it to industry who build the windmills and stuff that aren't competitive on their own. It'll create some green jobs, but it's going to kill more regular jobs in the process than what it creates. So, yeah, it'll create some green jobs, but it's going to kill way more. Whenever I say it's going to cost us a couple million, 2.5 million jobs down the road starting in 2012, that's including the green jobs. So we account for those green jobs. Take those into account, and it kills millions beyond that. They tell us, you know, you're going to save a lot of money because we're going to make you do efficiency. Like I'm not smart enough as a consumer to decide that if I want efficiency or not. What they're really talking about is rationing. They're going to ration electricity, and yeah, you might save some money maybe because you don't have electricity to go out and do the stuff you want to do with. Look, this is a bunch of smoke and mirrors. It's at worst, it's lies that we're being told to. It's people being bought off. It's corrupt. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about big energy tax. We're talking about the consumers being on the losing end of this deal.
Again, we're talking with Jack Spencer of the Heritage Foundation. And Jack, what sort of energy policy does the Heritage Foundation endorse? Both sides of the aisle basically say that we can't stand with the status quo. We're too dependent on foreign oil and so forth. What's the right solution?
Free markets. I would suggest that most of the energy crisis that we're told we're in is a function of government intervention. Look, people go out there. We have access to lots of energy right now. When I plug something in, it works. And my electric bills, sure, they're higher than what I want them to be, but they're about as inexpensive as they are anywhere in the world. We have energy. We need to allow energy producers to go out and to produce energy, whether it's coal or oil or whatever the case is. Now, that doesn't mean we want to become dependent on foreign countries who want to take that money and give it to terrorists and kill us. Now, you know, that's a foreign policy question, one that we need to answer, but that's not a reason to put this regulation over everything that Americans do. We need to get the government out of the way, get rid of the red tape. We need to drill here. We need to build nuclear power plants, and we need to let consumers and producers to decide what's the best way to do, not government bureaucrats.
And talk about the extent of our own resources, whether it's coal, oil, natural gas. How well could we sustain ourselves if given access to those resources?
It's not just about sustaining ourselves. I'm not one to talk about energy independence. What we want to do is to have access to the best, most affordable energy around the world. Being careful, of course, you don't want to become dependent on guys that aren't your friends. But if someone else can give us energy cheaper than we can produce ourselves, we should do that. That frees up our resources to use that energy to build, you know, to build stuff and to make things, and that's where economic growth comes from. Now, with that being said, what we have here is we have more coal than anyone else. Good burning coal. We can do nuclear energy here. We haven't built a nuclear power plant in this country for 30 years. That doesn't mean we can't go off and use the scientists we have, and you know, we have some industrial capacity. We can rebuild that. We can start building nuclear power plants. So the really exciting thing about those is not just about electricity. While that's important, but you can use nuclear energy to make synthetic fuels and to in things like the petrochemical industry, all sorts of stuff. So So we have a lot of resources here. We have natural gas here. We have offshore, we have oil, natural gas off our shores and on our shores, all sorts of things. So we have abundant resources in this country. And unlike anywhere else in the world, for whatever reason, our politicians have decided that we shouldn't have access to them. Whenever you go to places like Denmark and these other places, they're drilling oil all over the place. These places that people consider, you know, sort of environmental leaders. The reality is, here in the United States, we unlike them, take away a lot of that stuff that whether it's Denmark drilling or France with their nuclear power. You know, a lot of these other countries take a very different approach to energy than what we do.
Last 60 seconds, we keep hearing about solar, wind, geothermal, biofuels, and so forth. What capacity would those fuels right now be able to provide in terms of our energy needs?
Almost none. The fact is, right now, they produce less than 1% of our electricity, and that's with the subsidies. That's why, in addition to capping CO2, they need to create more subsidies for all that stuff. Look, I'm not against wind or solar or any of it. I just say to compete. Look, if these things are so great, I mean, you have all the free wind you want, you have solar at least half the day. If that, with all that free energy, you know, if they were such good sources, we shouldn't need subsidies. We shouldn't have to take money out of the pockets of Americans that we need to buy things to live on in order to subsidize those energy sources.
Jack, unfortunately, we need to call time there. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Jack Spencer is a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. This is Dateline Washington. And folks, a quick reminder that Friday will be the final radio version of Dateline Washington. Please be with us for that very special edition. And of course, an extremely important reminder, stay with us as we move our operations entirely online. Very exciting chapter here at Radio America, radioamerica.org, dateline.radioamerica.org, worldnetdaily.com will be your sources for the best of Dateline Washington's news operations starting Monday. We'll be right back.